Iambic Audiobooks and Soho Press presents The Tattoo Murder Case by Akamitsu Takagi. Translated by Deborah Bolivar Bohm. Read by Mark Douglas Nelson. Chapter 1. It was the summer of 1947, and the citizens of Tokyo, already crushed with grief and shock over the loss of the war, were further debilitated by the languid heat. The city was ravaged. Seedy-looking shacks had sprung up on the messy sites of bombed-out buildings. Makeshift shops overflowed with colorful black-market merchandise, but most people were still living from hand to mouth. Even in formerly posh neighborhoods around the Ginza, the same pathetic scenario was being played out. During the day, ragged crowds of people with empty eyes would meander aimlessly about the crossroads, mingling with the American soldiers who strutted along triumphantly in their dashing uniforms. When evening rolled around, the rubble-strewn streets teemed with prostitutes, petty criminals, and vagabonds seeking a cheap night's lodging. The uneasy silence of the night was frequently shattered by the report of a pistol. "Tokyo has really changed. The Ginza's changed, too," muttered Dr. Hishiro Hayakawa as he stood beside a shuttered building on a side street in the West Ginza district. He was nattily dressed in an off-white linen suit with a precisely knotted necktie of ecru satin, and he carried a rattan walking stick. Dr. Hayakawa struck several matches, without success. When one finally flared, he held it up to the nameplate on the building. The bright flame illuminated the professor's aquiline profile, with its dramatic, deeply carved features. There was something vaguely Mephistophelian about his magnified shadow, which loomed on the wall like that of a gigantic Balinese puppet.
"Six Chome, number 58. This must be the place," Dr. Hayakawa murmured as he rang the bell below the nameplate.
There was a small sound as a peephole slid open. From inside, two eyes peered into the darkness.
"Who's there, please?" a woman asked in a low voice.
"My name is Hishiro Hayakawa, but the newspapers call me Dr. Tattoo. In any case, Miss Nomura should know who I am. Just tell her Professor Hayakawa is here."
"And may I ask who sent you?"
"Takazo Mogami is my nephew."
The woman's next question sounded like a riddle or a nursery rhyme.
"The snake, the frog, and the slug?" she said cryptically. "The snake eats the frog eats the slug dissolves the snake," the professor replied without hesitation.
The Arabian Nights door opened to reveal a steep, narrow staircase, lit dimly by a naked bulb. The sphinx behind the door turned out to be an innocent-looking young girl with a vaguely foreign appearance, dressed in a Chinese chief dress of white silk embroidered with blue and yellow dragons. Following this lovely apparition, the professor climbed the stairs. At the end of the hall on the right side was a closed door bearing a discreet sign that read simply, "See you, Pan." Professor Hayakawa, being something of a linguist, recognized the word right away as the Japanized French for serpent, and he shivered with pleasure at the prospect of being admitted into the snake woman's inner sanctum. The girl in white knocked on the door, then vanished down the hall. The professor's heart was pounding with excitement. Kinue Nomura and he were practically related, by common law marriage, if not by blood. Surely that would count for something. After a moment, the door was opened by a striking-looking young woman, with a long face, narrow eyes, and the delicate, classical features of one of Utamaro's woodblock print beauties. She looked at Professor Hayakawa with undisguised suspicion.
"Welcome," she said automatically, but her voice didn't sound very welcoming.
The woman was tall and slender, and she was dressed Japanese style, in a kimono patterned with white polka dots on a black ground, and sashed with a red and black striped obi.
"Kinue, Miss Nomura, it's me. Don't you remember?"
"Professor Hayakawa?" Kinue Nomura's pale oval face flushed cherry-blossom pink with recognition. But instead of looking relieved, she seemed even more suspicious.
"So, the famous skin-peeler survived the war. How long has it been since we've seen each other, Sensei?"
she asked in a distant tone, using the term of respectful address for teachers and masters of any art. In her mouth, though, it sounded facetious, almost insulting.
He said, "It must have been 6 or 7 years at least. You've really changed, haven't you?"
The remark was obviously meant as a compliment, for over that time Kinue had blossomed from an attractive teenager into a breathtakingly beautiful woman.
"Now that you mention it, so have you."
Behind the terse words was the clear implication that the professor had changed for the worse. It was true. The hardships of war had turned his hair half-white and deepened his wrinkles, making him look considerably older than his 46 years. His skin had a slightly jaundiced cast, and even his jaunty costume looked weary and worn in the light. Kinue Nomura eyed the professor warily.
"Well, Dr. Tattoo, I assume you've come here to offer me your famous obscene proposition?"
Her tone was acerbic.
"You know me. I'm a slave to my obsession. But let's not rush things. Won't you let me come into your bar and have a drink? I'm an old friend of your family's, after all. And now that you're, seeing my nephew Takezo, I'm practically your uncle."
Kinue pursed her shapely lips, which were painted a deep cherry red to match her obi.
"Well, uncle, I'm afraid the Serpent Bar is full up at the moment," she said coldly. "Besides, it's for members only."
Through the crack, the professor could see several empty tables, and he knew that even with the tenuous family connection, an uphill battle lay ahead. "Start with innocuous small talk," he told himself, "and the door will swing open soon enough."
"So, tell me," he said casually, "what's your talented older brother Tsunetaro doing these days?"
"He was sent down south to the Philippines in 1943, and I haven't seen him since. Nobody came to deliver his ashes, and he's officially listed as missing. So I think he must have been killed in the war. I've given up hope by now."
In the background, the professor could hear a drunken male voice shouting,
"Hey, madam! Come back and show us your sexy tattoo!"
Kinue Nomura paid no attention. Somewhere in the noisy room behind her, a defective gramophone kept playing the same melancholy post-war ballad over and over, but she didn't seem to notice that either.
"And what about your sister?"
the professor asked, prolonging the conversation.
"Poor Tame. I guess she was born under an unlucky star. She was in Hiroshima when the bomb fell, and no one's seen her since. Even if she had survived by some miracle, she probably would have died soon after from her injuries."
Kinue's tone was oddly clinical and off-handed, as if she were discussing the fate of a stranger.
"You two were never close, were you, even as children?" the professor asked.
"That's putting it mildly."
Kinue's exquisite face was suddenly distorted into a mask of unpleasantness.
"I thought sisters so close in age were supposed to be inseparable," ventured Professor Hayakawa.
Kinue Nomura shrugged her elegant shoulders.
"To tell you the truth, I never felt close to her at all," she said. "I always thought Tame was an evil changeling, left on the doorstep, who just happened to look like me."
The professor was taken aback. He had forgotten about Kinue's habit of saying outrageous things, true or not, just to shock people. Returning to his own agenda, he said,
"I can't remember the last time I saw your sister. I think it was when you two were still in middle school, long before your father gave you that magnificent snake tattoo."
"What about Tame? Did she ever get any tattoos?"
"You really do have a one-track mind, don't you?"
Kinue sounded angry, but it could have been an act.
Whatever happened to my condolences on the loss of your entire family?
But to answer your prying question, Tamei was very competitive, not to mention insanely envious of everything I did, so she couldn't very well have stood by watching me get tattooed without wanting one too.
What did your sister's tattoo look like?
The professor leaned forward eagerly, his eyes gleaming behind wire-rimmed spectacles.
I'd rather not discuss that. It's too creepy, like counting the birthdays of a child who died a long time ago.
If it's true that both your brother and sister are gone, then the Orochimaru tattoo on your back has become a national treasure. Please take care of yourself and live a long, healthy life.
What a lousy liar you are! Kinue erupted. What you really mean is, be careful not to injure the skin on your back, and please die as soon as possible.
Professor Hayakawa was so stunned that he couldn't think of anything to say. Kinue Nomura stood there glaring at him, her crimson lips curved in a mirthless laugh. After a moment she said,
"By the way, the answer is still no."
And with that she slammed the door in his face. End of chapter 1.